Okay. Grab your seats. Got your Bible. Brought your Bible to church. Get ready. No PowerPoint today. So, man, you're going to have to take some notes probably to make sure you remember. Always got to keep people on your toes. You're looking good. Feeling good? Doesn't matter what's on the outside, should always feel good because you've got God on the inside. Ah, okay, my message this morning is I love the church. I love the church. Today is Sign Up Sunday. I've always loved the church. My earliest memories as a kid involved the church. My first church, which I was born into, got dedicated in, was in Lower Hutt. Lower Hutt Assembly of God. From 0 to 2, I attended that church. Don't really remember much of that church. But do you know who else was in that church? Pastor Paul DeYoung was in that church. Pastor Brian Houston was in that church. That was a cool church. It was. My dad was the youth pastor in that church. Wow. That's pretty good. I got dedicated in that church. Man, I love the church. My next church was in Brisbane, Australia. I went there when I was 3 years old. I can remember that church too. It was different. We had church. Well, this is how I remember it. So this is a 3 to 6 year olds remembering church. Was we had church that started at 4 o'clock on a Sunday. And you went to church, hung out, and then you all had dinner together. It was cool. We all had dinner together. And then there was night church. And we all as kids slept in this big back room. I don't know whether we did sleep. We all hung out, all these kids. It was mayhem. It was amazing. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in that church. I can remember that. Oh, I was 5 years old. Oh, man, I love the church. My next church was in Whanganui. Let's pronounce it properly. I was about 5 or 6 when I started there. We didn't go there for too long, but it was amazing. I can remember that church because that's when that movie Thief in the Night came out. The Christian horror film. Mate, it scared the living daylights out of me. I can still remember Larry Norman singing, "You've been left behind." Oh, that was a good church though. I wasn't there for too long, and then my next church was in Hawara. Man, that was cool. We arrived there. Dad got the crowbar to open the church building because it was all locked up. And all seven or eight of us, went to church. 5 in our family. We went to church in Hawara. It was fantastic. And that church grew. That was in 10 Albion Street. If you ever want to go to Hawara, you can go still see. I think the church is still there today. Little country church. Little church. It was cool. And I used to sing from the front row in that church because I know that's true because my sister used to complain that she could hear me while she was up on stage and to tell me that I sing too loud. I love that church. I was there until I was 15. And then about 39 years ago, my parents came to this church while we were on holiday. Do you go to church when you're on holiday? We always go to church when we're on holiday. God spoke to my dad when he went to church when he was on holiday in here. And we ended up moving here to this church 38 years ago, I think it is, roundabout. Man, I love the church. So I went to school and went to youth here. Got great memories of my youth days in church here. It was unbelievable. It was fantastic. Made some good friends. And then my next church, because I went off to university, was Hamilton Assembly of God, now called Gateway. Man, it was a good church too. It was big. Big church. I loved that church. Met a whole lot of friends there. I met my wife in that church. How many people met their spouse in church? Through church. That's a good place to find someone. It's a great place to find someone. I love church. That was a great church. What else did I put about that church? I made incredible friends. I started worship leading in that church. In that stage, I only got to do the little 5-minute thing that they did before the church started. That's how you start. When you came in, they had the songs going. They started 5 minutes early. So I think it helped people to come to church a little bit earlier. And I remember because you had to do this. You get to do the 5-minute before church. Man, I was excited about that. That was pretty cool. I learned to play the guitar because they needed somebody to play the guitar in Connect Group. It was also a good way to get girls, actually, now that I think about it. I love the church. I don't know whether that's why I got Eleanor or not, but anyhow, I love the church. Got married in that church, floral carpet and all. It's a good church. And then I came back here, we got married, I brought my wife back here to this church because I wanted to help my parents with their church, Eleanor and I, 29 years ago. Well, 29 and a half years ago. Man, I love the church. Brought up our kids here too. That's pretty exciting. Made incredible friends in church. So grateful for God's people. I love the church. Do you love the church? I feel like the church is making a difference in the world. I'm so glad the church is in the Word. Now I'm talking about the big church. Well, it would be a terrible place with no church. I feel as a church, we're making a little difference to the big church. In Tauranga, you know, we meet. We have a whole lot of, you know, doing the church cafe, the atrium, means a lot of people that are Christians come and eat in our church. And we feed them. And I think that's a great thing to do for the church. All the pastors come. We have pastors gathering in the church. It's great. I think the church in New Zealand, we've got a bit of a part in that. We just prayed for them. That's a good part. Church in the world, some exciting things that we're supporting. You know, one day I'm going to hand the church on to someone else. Who knows who? God knows. And then I hope that my children's children come to this church, get saved in church. I love the church. Do you know I love the church? Because my parents love the church. Because they love the church, I love the church. Do you know Jesus loves the church? In Ephesians 5:25, just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. When Jesus got lost, when his parents lost Jesus, where did they find him? At 12 years old. He said, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" In the NLT it says, "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" The other day Jared was talking about being in a family business. We're all in the family business. I must be about my father's house. Did you not know I must be about my father's business? This is God's business. My father's business. It's different from working in someone else's business. You have a different mentality. When you're in a family business, you carry it regardless. You don't do it for the money. You do it because it's part of what we do. It's our family business. We're in church because that's our family. Our family. We go to church. The story of the prodigal son is about the father's business, the father's house. One leaves, not realizing how good it is, doesn't realize how good he has in his father's house, thinking he'll find life outside, but knows that in the end he's got to come back to his father's house. The other son, the older son, doesn't realize how good he has in his father's house and thinks that more should be done for him. But because of his faithfulness and that, he doesn't realize that it's his house. Doesn't like it that some of the money's been spent on his brother. who doesn't deserve or has wasted. I love the church. Do you love God's church? How do you see the church? How do you feel about God's church? Maybe you've been hurt in God's church because something someone's done, or leadership that you've been under, whatever that's happened. I always, in my head, have been, I suppose, a bit, I find it a bit messy in my head when it says that Jesus is coming for a perfect church. Because I don't know about you, I haven't been to that church yet. In fact, sometimes it's bad. Even if the look at the history of the big church, we've got some pretty bad things in our history. Yet it says Jesus is coming back for the perfect church. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, "For husbands, this means love your wife just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without thought." Yeah. Do you know what happened to me? It dawned on me. It's just like me. It's just like me. The church is just like me. I'm forgiven and I live by the grace of God. Yes. And as Josh said, I'm righteous because of what God's done. But I make mistakes. I do some stupid things. Say the wrong thing now and again. Oh. I'm not perfect, but through Jesus, I'm made perfect. The church is only made perfect through Jesus. Through what Jesus has done. Despite the church's faults, despite my faults, Jesus loves the church. Jesus said, "I will build the church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it." In fact, let me read that. Matthew 16, verse 80. "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Did you know the devil hates the church? That's what it's saying there. All the powers of hell are against church. He'll do anything to make you hate the church. He'll do anything to get you out. This is the devil. He'll do anything to get you out of the church. He doesn't like the church. He doesn't like you being here this morning. Yeah. Some of you, it was a bit of a struggle to get here this morning. But you made it. Yeah. You overcome the evil one. Not saying that everybody that didn't get to church this morning. They're online now. Hi. But the enemy will do anything to get you offended with church. Yeah. To get you upset with church. But God's building the church. If God's building the church, man, I don't want to be in the place where I'm pulling the church down. I'm working against God if I start pulling the church down. And I'm saying the Big C church and this church, but any church that you're a part of. We've got to love the church. Josh quoted, I was talking in MCs the other day about, you know, not saying you are giving to the church, because I don't see when I give my tithe, they are not going to the church. I do not tithe to the church. I tithe to God. I give to God. I give to God. And God, in a sense, gives to the church. So the church runs on holy money, consecrated money. And that's from God. God provides for it. But I think it's the same with serving. I don't serve the church. I serve God. And it just happens to be that he wants me to serve in the church. I put in here, I'm not serving the people, I'm serving God, and I'm answerable to God. We're all answerable to God. Sean mentioned last night in the Sunday night message about the fact that we should all be working like we are working for Jesus, that Jesus is our boss. In Ephesians 6:5-8, it says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. as slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm. Are you enthusiastic about the church? Are you enthusiastic about your job? Couple of people. Are you enthusiastic about it, or are you a bit annoyed with your job? Annoyed with your boss? But it says in here, as slaves, do the will of God, work with enthusiasm as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. That changes the way you work. Man, I'm going to work for Jesus. How exciting is that? Remember, the Lord will reward each of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. The reason I became a pastor is because I believe in the church. Like I say, I love the church. I want to see people reach their potential in church. I see all the good in the church and all the good that the church does me. I'm in a better place because I've been in the church. I think I'm a better person because I've been in church. I've had a few people talk to me about some of the things that I needed to change and attitudes and the way I do things, and I'm thankful that they did that in church. Because it's better when they do it in church than they do it at work or at school. They don't seem to have the same grace. I'd better to work on it here with you. You know, 2 weeks ago I talked about how I was driving along one day in my car with my son Andre, and he went, yellow car, and went whack on my arm. I went, what? And we're driving along a little bit further. I know it. Yellow car, he goes, whack. And I go, what are you doing? I saw a yellow car. I go, what do you mean? It took me a while to get the idea. The other day, this week, I was going home with him, and I went, yellow car, whack. And then I went, yellow car, whack. And he said, there's no yellow car. Oh, I can see one in my rear vision mirror that you can't see. I see yellow cars everywhere now. Yellow cars, man. Yellow cars, they're awesome. In fact, even the other day, I'm driving along with Eleanor, and I said, oh, yellow van. She goes, oh, a van's part of it or not? I nearly went, whack. Yes, they are. No, I didn't. When I'm driving, I see yellow cars. You see yellow cars. What it illustrates is we see what we're looking for. What do you see when you see the church? Do you see the amazing people in it? Do you see the amazing potential? Or do you see all the problems? Wish they'd sort out that sound. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see when you see the church? You see what you're looking for. What are you looking for? Do you see all the failures? The mistakes? Or do you see all the good things? You choose to see what you see. I've told the illustration before about the guy sitting in on the gate going into the town, and a guy comes into him and says, man, I've just moved to this town. What's it like? And he goes, the guy sitting at the gate goes, well, what was the town like that you came from? And he says, oh, mate, it was horrible. Backbiting, they were so unkind to us, they weren't friendly, it was a horrible place. And so the guy sitting at the gate says, oh, you'll find it just the same here. And then the next guy comes along and says, look, I'm just moving to this town, what's it like? And he goes, what was the town like you came from? Mate, it was so friendly, it was so good, we met all our friends, we just loved it, it was just so beautiful. And then the guy at the gate says, well, you'll find it exactly the same here. You know, in church, you find what you're looking for. What are you looking for? Are you looking for grace? You'll find grace in the church. Are you looking for judgment? Well, you'll find some of that in the church too. You find what you're looking for. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Yes. You know, when I started reading that, we don't often put those verses together. You know, we often see verses in isolation, but this is talking about that we're no longer immature children. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing even in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly, together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. Did you know that your part in the body is a special work? The older I get, more my body seems to be not quite as good as it used to be. And the more I notice when something's not quite working properly, and it's a pain in the neck. Well, not a literal pain in the neck. Like I did my shoulder last year, and man, that affects everything. When one part of your body is not as good as it should be, man, it slows you down. You're not as effective. Did you know that every part of the church body needs everybody? Yeah. It runs better with everybody. Yeah. Everybody doing their part. Yeah. And here's my question, what's your part? What's your part? Your own special work. It helps others grow. So my part helps others grow. We're all connected. Whether you like it or not, we're all family. We're all connected. The church does not do as well. In fact, the person next to you doesn't grow as well if you're not doing your part. What's your part? Do you know what your part is? It helps others grow so that the whole body, the church, is healthy and growing and full of love. The more you do your part, the more love there is in our church. Isn't that fascinating? In the New King James Version, that was the new LT, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. We all supply. We all supply. We need you. The church in New Zealand needs you. The church in the world needs you. You supply. It's not about what you supply. Every part is important. Every bit makes a difference. God said to me, one of my sayings is, if you build my house, I'll build your house. A couple of times my house has nearly collapsed, gone through some pretty tough things. Do you know that through that, I never stopped building God's house? Always in church, whether I'm on holiday or not. Morning and night. That was just our family custom. That's what my parents did. That's what I do. Still do. Yeah, still here. But I think God's built my house because I've built his house. And not just as a senior pastor, just as, look, if I wasn't the senior pastor, I'd still be in church. When I went off to university, I was in church. You know, that right through all my university, I think I can only remember missing one Sunday night church, and I felt naughty. I love the church. And that was all our day, Eleanor and I, while we were doing work. You know, Eleanor was teaching, I was doing accounting. We're in church. We love the church. We need every part. The key to good church is every part supplying, doing their special work. I appreciate. The older I get, the more I appreciate every part. Your part. I put down here, I'm serving church today because my parents love the church. Did you know that my parents always spoke well of the church? Did you know, it wasn't until I was about 20 that I realized there were some negative things in church. Because my parents never talked about any negative things in church. I was in my own little bubble that I thought it was the perfect place. That was a good thing. How do you talk about the church? I made church a priority because my parents made church a priority. I made youth a priority for my kids because my parents made it a priority for me. My kids are serving in church today because of the grace of God and because my parents love the church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:14. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Egypt is the world. Put away the serving of idols. If you're serving the world, you're serving idols. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites whose land you live in? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Amen. There's food in serving the Lord. Yeah. I'm fed by serving the Lord. Yes. It's exciting serving the Lord. Yeah. I'm excited about what's going to happen in the church. I'm excited about the church in New Zealand. You know, recently, last year, I had a sort of a episode, ended up in hospital. But one of the things that kept happening to me is that I kept talking to other pastors and I just had a heart for the church. And I was forever apologizing to them and started crying. I mean, it was a strange couple of weeks last year. But I really sensed that we need to love the church. If you've had a bad experience with a church or a past church, be careful, be very careful how you talk about that church. Because yeah. Despite its flaws, yeah. Jesus loves that church yeah. as much as he loves our church. Yeah. Be someone that lifts up the church, speaks positively about the church, yeah, sow into the church. You won't be disappointed. Serve God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for each person here. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you've saved us. Thank you that we get to worship you. We live for you, God. Help us, Lord. Lord, I pray for each person here that you'd help them find their part, their place. Lord, I pray if there's any healing that needs to happen, that, Lord, your healing touch would come. Holy Spirit, minister to us. Lord, I pray you'd help us as a church to be a church that loves. If anything, all people would say about our church is, man, they love people. Lord, help us to be such a great example of you, to love you and love the church like you love the church and gave your life for us, which we're forever grateful for. While everyone's got their eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never given your heart to him, or maybe you have in the past, if you don't know for sure that if you died tonight that you'd go to heaven, and you want that assurance, all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your life. The whole purpose of the church is to let everybody know about the gospel, the good news. The good news is that Jesus came so that you and I could have a relationship with God. Without Jesus, our lives they're not complete. They're not in the right place. We are made to be in relationship with God, but sin or brokenness, our brokenness, separated us from God. And the good news is Jesus came so that you and I could be reconciled to God, that we could be made right with God, that we could have a relationship with the living God, the creator of the universe. It's phenomenal. And all we have to do is ask Jesus to come into our lives. Ask him to come, forgive us of our sin. This morning, while everyone's got their eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know him, I'd like to pray for you. And just to let me know who I'm praying for, why don't you put your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. I know I need to get right with God. I want to give my heart to God this morning. Maybe you've done it in the past, but you feel that you've walked away from God and you want to come back. Or maybe if you had died tonight, you wouldn't know that you were going to heaven and you want that assurance. Why don't you just put your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. I'm just looking around. Everyone else has got their eyes closed. Maybe you're online there at home. Maybe this is you. You want to ask Jesus to come alive. You can do it anywhere. There's no place you can't do it. It's amazing. I'm going to still pray this prayer, maybe for someone online or someone here that's just too nervous to put up their hand. And we're all going to pray it. Dear Jesus, everybody pray it after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love the church. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Please fix my brokenness. Come into my heart today. Be the Lord of my life. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just pray for you. Father, I pray for anybody that's prayed that prayer as a recommitment to come back to you. Father, Lord, I pray they would know your love. Lord, I pray that they would find a great church to be part of, that they would grow and be discipled. Lord, I pray you put great people alongside them. Lord, help us as the church to help them grow. We thank you that you've helped us. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? There's two things that I suppose a bit of a priority in church. One is worship. Because I don't know about you. I mean, I have pretty good worship times at home, but none of them are like when we all come together and worship. There's something about worshiping our God together, every part supplying. It's exciting. And we're just going to finish with just worshiping God because I know His presence is in this place. I want every person to have an encounter with God, sense His love, and go out, make a difference. Because you know, the church isn't just here. The church happens 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The church never sleeps. Because we're all happening around this city. That's exciting.